Our scripture reading this morning is found in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Good morning, everyone. I ask you all to please pray for me this morning. I'd like to thank Linda for the bulletin. Thank you very much, my sister. Thank you very much. Whenever I have to speak, that week turns out to be the most challenging. It never fails. I called Linda, I think it was yesterday, and I was thinking about changing the whole sermon because I was writing what I thought the Holy Spirit was giving me, but then he turned it around and I began to write what I thought the Holy Spirit was giving me then. And then in the end, the Lord told me he wanted it to be two separate sermons. So this is part one of a sermon that will be continued. The title of today's sermon is called Lions, Tigers, and Bears. This is Labor Day weekend. This is the last holiday weekend, which traditionally marks the end of the summer season. We live in the Northeast here in the Saratoga region. I'm not sure if you guys have ever been to the track. I have. I don't gamble, but I like to go see horse races. I love them. When I was at Camp Cherokee as a kid, I used to race the horses on the trail all the way from the cabin at the top of the hill at sunset to Route 3. They don't let you do that anymore. We had a wild director back in the day, Pastor Ken Gorski, and any camper who came to camp three or four summers in a row who knew how to ride horses well, and he personally trained, he would let you race horses. I think your granddaughter would have won. But I could hop on the horse, and they had us have races all the way, and it was fun. But this is the last holiday. The last big holiday of camping trips and extended weekend excursions. It marks the beginning of the school year. I always knew that when this time came, school is the next week. When you got little kids, you realize that school is all the time. You're never not a teacher. Can I get a witness, Rick and Leanne? You're always a teacher, right? Time, you're always a teacher, right? You're always instructing. You're always teaching. Grandparents know that. You're always giving a lesson, giving a word of encouragement. College students return. Dorm rooms are packed. I overheard a conversation at the health club. I went to work out a couple days ago. One student said, I spent $600 in books. $600 in books. I looked at him two or three times. He wasn't even majoring in science and engineering. I said, what are you majoring in? He said, philosophy. I said, man, I would go get a used book. He said, $600 in books. The sound of the yellow school buses are darting through the neighborhoods. All the drivers are getting their routes down, getting their timing down. Labor Day weekend, for some family, marks the last opportunity for the last big barbecue cookout. A couple weeks ago, I went up to Rochester, and my grandmother, rest in peace, her birthday was on the 22nd of August. Mine is on the 23rd. And I have another cousin who was on the 13th, another cousin on the 26th. So this was a great month in August as a kid, because everybody had a party. It was a big barbecue, and usually on this weekend, it was Grandma's weekend. Everybody would go to Grandma's house, the last big barbecue. So since she passed away, we have a big barbecue celebration on her birthday. And it's gotten larger now because all the kids' kids bring their kids. And kids have their kids. And you have friends and neighbors and family who bring their kids. We would almost been Italian if you'd have saw us, Kai. This year, our family barbecue was at a retirement center. I've never been to this kitchen, but it was huge, man. They had two big tables. About 55 people could sit down. All the kids, you know, you have to have a separate table, at least in my family. Kids sit at a separate table when you got that many adults. But it was fun. But this holiday in particular, compared to all the other holidays in our collective consciousness and our collective experience from January to February, honors those who work, who sweat, who toil, who provide the heavy lifting, the emotional, mental, physical, who provide for their families. It's an American holiday. Labor Day weekend, celebrating the hard work that American immigrants, born and foreign, have brought to this great country of ours. It celebrates their skills, their trades, their education, their efforts, their ingenuity and creativity, and most of all, their perseverance and determination. Our story today begins with a celebration. Everybody likes a party. Can I get a witness? Amen? I like a party. Even though we're Adventists, we're told to be meek and mild, I still like a party. I like to have fun. And I think even Jesus Christ, his first miracle was at a wedding celebration. It was a festive event. It was a time to let loose and to celebrate and to commemorate and to bring friends together. A feast. Similar to this weekend, this celebration was very special. This celebration marked the occasion of all siblings coming together. I can imagine the laughter of kids and music playing. I can imagine the food being served and any palate or appetite being filled. I don't know the total number of people that were there, but let's take a look in Gander, because this is an opportunity for us to reflect. Now, the story that we're going to read and that we're going to talk about today doesn't indicate what was being celebrated, which is not the true focal point. But what it indicates, most importantly, is that things can turn in your life in an instant. In an instant. Let's turn to the book between Esther and Psalms in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Let's turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. It's between Esther and Psalms in the Old Testament. When you found it, please say amen. Amen. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. I'm reading to you out of the New King James Version, just in case you guys have the traditional version. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each upon his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, from walking back and forth on it." That the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand and his possessions, have increased in land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And when the Sabaeans raided them, took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants and with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their older brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are all dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. For the Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Dear God, I pray with all humbleness of heart, I beseech you. Please forgive me of all my sinfulness and iniquities. Please place a hedge around our hearts, our minds, and our emotions here this morning. Channel our thoughts and our energies for the next few moments to think and receive only you. We are in desperate, wretched need of your forgiveness, restoration, and deliverance from this body and this world of sin. We approach your throne on bended knee and bowed heads, not puffed up, but laid low by your continued mercies and blessings and provisions you continue to provide us. Please accept my prayer and give me the strength of character to improve my mind and actions to reflect your indwelling spirit in all I do and think. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. An avalanche. A tsunami. A mudslide. A tornado. A hurricane, a wind storm, a blizzard. These are all natural occurrences that can occur in a blink of an eye, that can be completely devastating for those who are unprepared. This could be compounded immensely. When your world is turned upside down, inside out, and could be rocked by a devastating automobile accident, an airplane crash, God forbid a terrorist attack, a train wreck, or a shipwreck at sea. Or when a family member suffers a stroke, a heart attack, or falls into a coma. If this happens to you, unprepared, not able to fully comprehend or understand why it's happening, this is a perfect storm for your life. This is what happened to Job. No warning, no forecast, no way to foresee what was on the horizon. It was a perfect storm. Sometimes we go through our lives and our days wondering and wandering through, just trying to make it to the next moment, the next minute, the next hour, the next experience, not knowing what's around the corner. One time or another, everyone feels like Job. While going through trials and times of suffering, we're often overwhelmed with self-pity. We want an explanation from God, why me? Why now? What have I done? Enough is enough. Can I get a witness? I've done all I can do. I've been faithful to you. I've given a faithful tithe and offering. I come to church. I do what I can. I share my talents and my skills. But I'm continually being rocked left and right. And now this. And now this. How do you prepare your mind for this type of challenge? For this type of experience? For this type of encounter that, let's be honest, could definitely change the course and destination of your life? You can go left, you can go right, you can go forward, you can go back, or you could completely stop. Healthcare and mental institutions are full of people who aren't crazy, who are just stressed out. I said it again. They aren't crazy. They're totally stressed out. They're overwhelmed with the day-to-day. They're overwhelmed of how I'm going to meet my responsibilities. They're overwhelmed of how I'm going to pay the mortgage, how I'm going to pay the car note, how I'm going to pay the rent, how I'm going to pay my utilities, how I'm going to buy groceries. They're not asking for a big ticket item. They're just asking for the next meal. If you haven't been there, find yourself blessed. But sometimes, it's good to be in the position to pull on the Lord's coattail. For sometimes, we got to remember where we came from. I'm not talking about being down and out, but I'm talking about being in need of a Savior. Amen? The book of Job records these troubling questions and terrifying doubts. The book of Job records a man grappling with total fear and directly questioning God. The book of Job records a man in complete anguish trying to decide, why me? Why me? Why me? And it's interesting because many times when you're in this situation, the people who you think would be in your corner is so far removed. The people who you think would understand you look at you like you're a total stranger. The people who are with you that you think are together inside your personal space don't even understand how you live it. And this is why this week I couldn't confine this to one sermon because it wouldn't do it justice. I looked up and down, and some of you other Bible scholars can tell me, I don't know how long Job went through this trial or experience. Does anyone know? The Bible doesn't give it a timeline. Does anybody know a timeline? This is what I'm asking. Did it take a month? Did it take a year? Was it several years? This is the reason why I asked the question. Because with God, time is infinite. Because it's finite. It doesn't matter with God. It's about the experience. Did you get that? It doesn't matter if it takes you 1 or 21. If it takes you 1 day or 21 days, 1 month or 21 months, 1 year or 21 years to learn the lesson, you got to learn the lesson. Amen? If you got to repeat it over and over and over and over, it doesn't matter with God. It's about your and my soul salvation. Do you understand this? And this, oh my great, this is what grappled me. And I take beginning to look at this. I say, you know what? We all got to go through. Now, I'm not going to say your experience is going to be Job's experience. I don't want you to walk out of here, man, I went to that church on the corner and the man said, I got to go through what Job did. I'm not saying that. But trust me, you will have a wilderness experience that will be unique and germane to your life. It's going to cause you to either go close to God or push far away from Him. It's going to be a test of metal. A test of metal. The book of Job sets the stages of an intricate dialogue. A very intricate dialogue. That has a man that is totally isolated in his thoughts by himself. He's not alone, but he's by himself. He's with a wife who said, you must have messed up. You might as well just curse God and die. Just roll over. Forget it. Give up. Just give up the ghost. He has three friends. And this is where the phrase comes. With friends like these, why do you need enemies? You got friends who are with you in the good times. They start going back. Oh, man. Cleo, what is wrong? I'm going to Elder Ford's house. Yeah, him and Martha, they had troubles. Mm-hmm. I knew, yeah, they were goody two-shoes. Yep, mm-hmm. Let me go see what's happening. I'll tell you later. Okay. What's going on, man? Don't know. You heard what he said? He said, don't know. That's what Job said. I don't know what's happening. See, that's the honest answer. I don't know what's happening. I don't know. You know as much as I do. Four messengers. Four terrible results. If someone told you today that fire came down out of the sky and consumed your house and your house alone, what would you do? Think about that. Not an explosion. Not a gas fire. Just the fire came out of the sky and went poof. Gone. Last night on 3ABN. But I like to watch Walter Pearson on Friday evening. Before the Breath of Life, they had this testimony of this missionary. And the missionary told a story. I forgot where they were. I want to say they were in some part of the South Pacific near Indonesia. But there was a group of villagers who believed in witchcraft and evil spirits. And they had a man whose wife, against his better wishes, decided to go to a Sabbath school outreach post. And if the wife had been attending for 3 or 4 months, and every time she would come back home, there was a huge argument in the house over going to church on Sabbath, or going to church for a prayer meeting, on going to church during the weekday. And he began to notice that his kids did not want to participate in these ritualistic services that they had in their village. And these services were idolatry. They worshiped snakes. They worshiped other objects. They were involved in some evil rituals that were very detrimental. Well, in his spirit, even though he told his family, no, don't go, he was drawn to be curious as to what's going on. He had a problem with his older son. And he noticed that his older son's behavior slowly began to change. His mindset, his attitude, his way that he approached his mother, the way he approached authoritative figures. Well, to make a long story short, he followed the family one Sabbath morning. And he stood outside the hut where they had Sabbath school. And he stood outside in the blazing sun and just listened to the service. He was sneaking to go to church after he told them not to. He was going too. He found himself just listening. Well, one day, he was in the wilderness and they were clearing brush. It was a dry season. People in California can definitely relate to this. It was dry season. And you know that when you have dead leaves and dead trees, there's fuel for fire. So he's clearing the brush. And when he was in the deep part of the grass, he was climbing a tree. He was trying to cut it down. He said he heard something moving in a thicket, but he couldn't see it. He turned around and looked over his shoulder. He couldn't see it. And before he knew it, when he was cutting down this tree, he looked up. And this huge python, black python, was slithering down the tree. And the fangs were open, coming right at him. And last night, the gentleman just stopped. He dropped his machete and he says, in the name of Jesus. It's interesting. You don't even have to say a whole prayer to get God's attention. Amen? God can read your mind. He sees your thoughts. He knows your circumstances. He said, in the name of Jesus. Instantaneously, he said he heard a weight on the grass. A weight. He looked, he saw his machete, but he didn't see the snake. It was gone. He said, man, this is strange. And he said, the snake was so big, it's one of those that can totally like surround you and just crush you by taking your breath away. You know, it just slowly constricts your breathing, slowly constricts your movement. He slowly picked up his machete and he would continue to do his work. On his way back to his house, a fire came The missionaries knew that he was clearing the brush. The missionaries sent messengers. You got to go get him. He's about 3 or 4 miles from the camp. You got to track him down. There was a wall of fire between him, where he was clearing, because he was trying to create a hedge. He figured if he could have a clearing, maybe the flyer would not be able to jump over. He was trying to create a hedge. I kid you not, this fire, they showed it last night, burned everything in the forest where him and his family lived. Everything. The fire stopped 6 inches from their hut. It was a grass hut. You understand what I'm saying? God is real. 6 inches. They showed it on the television last night, and the guy said, I wouldn't believe it. We just knew. He said, I was going to call Adra and said, we have the emergency situation. We have to come build houses. The whole man's whole entire house was saved. God knows how much you and I can take. You may not know it, but God knows how much you and I can take. All the heavy lifting we do, we may say, this is enough, I can't do no more. I can't max out. He knows how much you and I can take. There's two aspects of Job's character. Blameless and upright, meaning straightforward and ethical, straight thinking, epitomizes and emphasizes his character. Like Daniel in chapter 6, verse 4, Job was blameless before his human critics. But this is completely, you got to understand this, but he was not sinless before God. Many times when I read this story, and I got this from the Spirit of Prophecy, Patriarchs and Prophecy, I read this story many times, and I always thought, man, Job was just perfect. There's no way I can be that perfect. But there's a caveat, there's a twist here. The Lord told Satan that he was blameless and upright, but it doesn't mean that he was sinless. That gives you and I hope. You know what that means? He knows that we're going to make mistakes. He knows that you're going to stub your toe. He knows that you may say the wrong word. He knows that you may say the wrong, have the wrong thoughts. But it is not the 1, 2, or 3 time instance. It's the consistency of your life. You understand what I'm saying? What direction are you going in? What direction are you leading your family in? What direction do you want to live in? What's your journey? What's your destination? Job feared God and shunned evil, an indication that his right relationship with God was motivated him to turn away from evil things. Let me give you an example. He wouldn't intentionally be in an environment that he knew he would break the Sabbath. He would intentionally go to a club and say, you know what, it's Sabbath, but I'm just going to go visit a friend of mine. It happened to be 9:30 at night. You know what I'm saying? He's at the jazz club, but you know, I'm gonna go give him a Bible study. I'm not carrying a Bible. I'm not wearing a suit. I don't have the Spirit of Prophecy with me. I have my dancing shoes on, but I'm gonna go witness to him. Come on, get real. His motivation was right. You understand what I'm saying? His focus was correct. He didn't intentionally place himself in situations that he knew he would sin. He would engage in a business transaction knowing that he was going to deceive somebody or not fulfill a promise. The question then arises, why do good people suffer? Why does it appear that some Christians' lives are filled with torment, trials, tribulations, sufferings, heartaches, and heartbreaks? Why is it so? Someone probably saying, man, I thought when I became a Christian, it was going to be easy. It shouldn't be this difficult. It should not be this difficult. It should be easy. It should be straightforward. Why do I have challenges in my house, on my job, with my kids, with my spouse, with my in-laws, with the cat next door and the dog next door? Why is there trouble? Why? This is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy, labeled "That I May Know Him," page 225. And this is from this week's Sabbath School lesson. So if you guys study this week, you probably have heard it before, but I thought it was most appropriate for this morning. It is not God's will that his people should be weighed down with care. Check this out. But our Lord does not deceive us. He does not say to us, "Do not fear. There are no dangers in your path." He knows that there are trials and dangers, and he deals with us plainly. He does not purpose to take his people out of the world of sin and evil, but he points them through to a never-failing refuge. How can we remain in doubt, questioning whether Jesus loves us? Sinful though we be and compassed with infirmities, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a zealous of good works. He came to our world in a humble guise of a man that he might overcome, acquainted with the griefs and temptations that beset man, pathways, and that he might know how to help the weary with his offer of rest and peace. But thousand upon thousand refuse his assistance and only cling more firmly to their burden of care. He comes to the afflicted and offers to soothe their grief and heal their sorrows. To the disappointed, the unbelieving, and the unhappy, he offers contentment while pointing to mansions that he has prepared for them. Jesus, our precious Savior, should be first in our thoughts and affections, and we should trust him with entire confidence. John says that this confidence is that we have in him, that we can ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desire of him. Let us dwell much upon these points before the people, that their ideas may enlarge their faith and increase. They should be encouraged to act largely and expect without a doubt the riches of his grace. For through Jesus, we can come into an audience chamber of the Most High. Through his merits, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father, that we may have a deeper experience in prayer. With confidence, we may come to God, knowing that it is to have the presence and power of his Holy Spirit. We may confess our sins and right there while asking, know that the pardons of our transgression, because he has promised to forgive. We must exercise faith and manifest true earnestness and humility. We can never do this without the grace of the Holy Spirit. We must lie low at the feet of Jesus and cherish no selfishness, reveal no self-uplifting. But in simplicity, seek the Lord, asking for his Holy Spirit, and as a little child asks for bread of his parents. In essence, we work too hard. Now, you guys are looking at me like, what did he say? We work too hard. When the going gets tough, go to Jesus. When all hell breaks loose, go to Jesus. He's the best firefighter on the planet, in the universe. No cross, no crown. No wilderness experience, no Canaan's land. You got to go through. David was called the sweet psalmist of Israel because he had gone through the wilderness. Elijah was able to call on fire to rain down from heaven because he had gone through the wilderness. Noah and his family was saved from the flood because he had persevered over 100 years of ridicule and guile and torment of preaching because he had gone through the wilderness. Jacob's name was changed in the midnight hour, wrestling with all he had to change his name from a deceiver to the one chosen by God because he had gone through the wilderness. Moses did not part the Red Sea by chance. He had to go through the wilderness. John the Revelator wrote the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos because he had gone through the wilderness. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and me because he had gone through the wilderness. And if you and I are going to reach heaven and call heaven our home, we're going to have to go through the wilderness. It won't be done by our own efforts. We have to rest in Jesus. We have to rest in Jesus. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let's look at verse 21. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. I'm going to say this again. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the imputed word, which is able to save your souls. It is God's word. It's God's word. It's God's word. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It makes no sense to come to church and hear the word every week and read it every day and don't take it in. That's like going to the store and buying all these seasonings and still cooking bland food. It makes no sense. If you buy salt, use it. If you're going to buy oregano and tomato and all the other ingredients to make your own homemade sauce, use it. If you come to the house on Monday, you'll get a nice seasoned turkey burger. For those of you, I don't want to hurt anybody who don't eat meat now, but it will be well seasoned. I'll tell you this right now. You'll be like, wow, that's seasoned. Use it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer, he is like a man observing the natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, go away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. This is the one thing, when I read through this, I thought that Job did very well. He could have lashed out at his wife. He could have lashed out at his friends. But he didn't. And one reason why I'm taking a different twist on this story and focusing not upon the accusers of Job and everything else that he faced alone, it's the mindset. I am convinced that Job had a wilderness experience before this experience came. He was tested well before God knew he would succeed in this test. You understand what I'm saying? Before David faced Goliath, he had already killed a lion and a bear. You understand? Before Jesus met Satan in the wilderness after his baptism, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he had already met the demons that was possessed, that he had cast into those swine and pigs that threw him over the cliff. He had already healed and raised Lazarus from the dead. He had already faced and had an intimate relationship with God. If you and I are going to live to see Jesus Christ come in our own natural bodies, we will have to be prepared. We're not alone. We're not alone. Let's look at James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jesus Christ was able to endure the cross, suffer, bleed, and die, and rose on the third day because he had successfully navigated his wilderness experience. Now, I'll be very honest with you. Some of these wildernesses we've created for ourselves. I'll say that again. Some of these wildernesses we have created for ourselves. Through our lifestyles, decisions we made, young or old, paths we've chosen, for good or bad, God uses these pilgrim journeys to improve our character, to improve our understanding of who he is, but most importantly, to manifest what he wants us to be. He's not going to leave you. Trust me, sometimes I feel like, my gracious, why me? Why me? There's two things that I'm going to leave on this part of the story. Satan couldn't do anything to Job without God's permission. Amen? Hallelujah. And Satan cannot do anything to you or me without God's permission. That should give us the best hope of comfort out of all. So if something happens to you in your life, you deep in the crevices, in your tears and fears, and your doubts and wailings, and all of your anxieties, you should say to yourself, God knows. God allowed it. God allowed me to be here, and God's going to take me from here to there. I got to believe. He hasn't brought you to leave you. He's going to pick you up. He's going to take you out. He won't leave you. The book of Job teaches us much about human suffering. We also learn a great deal about Satan and his relationship with God. These chapters demonstrate, although Satan is in rebellion, he is still accountable to God. Even now, he's accountable to God. Originally an angel of God, Satan became corrupt through his own pride. Ever since his rebellion against God, Satan has been God's enemy and as well ours. In fact, the Hebrew word for Satan means adversary. In the story of Job, Satan remained true to his name by accusing Job and afflicting him with all kinds of suffering. However, Satan's power is not equal to God's. Amen? And although Satan attempts to hamper God's work, he is limited. I repeat, he is limited. He is restricted. He is constrained by God. As much as he may wish to be a God, Satan still remains answerable only to God. Satan was created just like you or me. He is not all powerful. And guess what? He can only be in one place at a time. Because God actively restrains Satan, Satan cannot read our minds. You could pray in silence and be calling on God's presence without audibly uttering a word. You could be praising God while you're driving down the street and say, God, please save me, and God will be right there. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. We can be confident that God's power can overcome Satan at any time and any place. And although we live in a fallen world, Satan does not have free reign to do whatever he wishes. God is still and will always be sovereign. Job came to a point that he had an intimate conversation with God. And God came to a point that he began to answer and talk directly to Job. It's very few stories in the Bible where God goes one-on-one with man. Very few stories. And I believe that in our Christian experience, we should go one-on-one with God. But let me tell you why most of us never do. Because we don't know him. We don't spend time with him. Our conversation with God is, I need some money to pay my heat bill. My child is driving me crazy. Can you help him be better than what he is? My husband and wife not doing right. Change him, Lord. I need a new job. You ever had a friend who only comes to you when they're in need? Do you like talking to that friend all the time? When that friend never have a conversation with you? Is that a true exchange? I have a friend. She's nice as all get out. Helen and I went out to lunch with her one day. And she always is just always complaining. I'm not going to tell you. She's a lovely person, but always. It's always too cold. It's always too hot. It's never right. There's always something wrong. I'll be lying if I tell you that I have some of the same fears and trials and tribulations as you do. I do. But one thing I'm slowly beginning to realize is that I can't do it by myself. I never did. I thought at one time I was, but when I look back at my life now, I was never the Lone Ranger. I always had Tonto with me. Matter of fact, I think I was Tonto and Jesus was the Lone Ranger. I just was along for the ride. He's just like, okay, Pedro. Matter of fact, you just hop on the horse. You don't have to do nothing. Just ride. If I was one of the cart rides, I'd probably be hop sing. I was at the house all the time. I was living in the big house. I was never one of the brothers or the big guy. Okay, we have to realize that we're not alone. You need to have an intimate conversation with God. You need to be able to talk to God and wrestle with God and reason with God. Because I'm going to tell you, every story where God shows up, he shows off. And I don't mean this in disrespect. When he shows up, things happen. When he showed up with Daniel and his friends, a man who was a heathen, and I always wondered, how in the world did Nebuchadnezzar know that this was the Son of God in the fiery furnace? Did he ever see him? No. The Bible says that every man is imputed with a bit of righteousness from God and faith. That little ounce of faith and seed of a mustard seed, the size of Nebuchadnezzar, recognized God in them and saw God in the furnace. And he stopped. And that same God will stop hell in your life and in my life. When God shows up, he shows off. When he showed up with Jacob, Jacob didn't know who he was wrestling with. He thought it was Esau. But you know what? If you got a brother, I got an older brother. I wrestled my older brother all the time when I was a kid. I still play basketball and wrestle with him. Okay? You know what you know because you know it. Halfway through his experience with this being that he thought was his brother, he realized this is not my brother. Because he recognized that this person can turn left or right and exercise more strength and totally take me out. He recognized that this being was possessed with a power that he had never experienced. He had an encounter with God. When God showed up, he showed off. He changed his name. I'm asking you to have a personal, direct encounter with God. Because if God were to show up in your life at this moment, at this time, today, your life will not be the same. Thank you.